And so that's another area where DoD could take a more comprehensive look to see if other service members maybe felt the same way.
There's an increased urgency right now for DoD to address these challenges that they're facing.
This is the Watchdog Report Big Bite Edition. We'll really sink our teeth into our nonpartisan reports on federal spending and ways to make the government work better. I'm Sarah Kaczmarek. So the military services today are generally smaller and less combat ready than they have been in many years. According to the Department of Defense, each service has been forced to cut items like training, maintenance, and modernizing their equipment. In this edition, we're diving into GAO's recent comprehensive report to Congress on DoD. Now, we've issued hundreds of reports in the past on slices of DoD's operations, but this is the first GAO report that really brings it all together. We'll talk about the bigger picture of whether DoD is ready to confront new and evolving threats.
I mean, when you look at the military, they really have been stretched with over a decade of war. And they're in a posture right now of trying to recover readiness to prepare for current and future contingencies.
So that's Kathy Barrick, Managing Director of GAO's Defense Capabilities and Management Team. Her team led GAO's independent investigation into the Department of Defense's mission challenges. Kathy went on to tell me about why training and modernizing equipment are just a key part of solving this puzzle.
One key element of this in order to restore readiness is training. When you look at the operations that our military has been engaged in over the past decade, it's largely been counterinsurgency operations. What's important now is for DoD to focus on what's called full spectrum training, where they train for the full range of missions that they may encounter. So they need time to be able to do that.
So you talked about personnel. What about the equipment side of this?
Yeah, equipment is also an area that needs some significant attention. Just to give you the Navy as an example, because of operational demands, the Navy has put their ships in deployment for longer periods of time, and they've also had to either reduce or defer scheduled maintenance on those ships. So what happens is the need for maintenance is built up over time, and ships are breaking down more. They need to be in maintenance for even longer periods of time because of those delays, and that's really affected the Navy's readiness.
And this can't be something that just the Navy is facing. What about, say, the Air Force?
So the Air Force, not only do they have constant operational demands, but they also have an aging fleet, and they haven't been able to modernize that fleet, and they also have fewer aircraft to fly. Now, the Air Force has come up with a plan for rebuilding readiness, but they're saying it's going to take over a decade to achieve, and even some think that's ambitious. But they said that's all predicated on the fact that they get the funding that they need and that there's a slowing of operations. And we all know that those two factors are largely beyond the department's control.
DoD's almost $600 billion budget accounts for about half of the federal government's discretionary spending, and its costs are significant and growing. That got me thinking, how can the Department of Defense make sure it's spending its money appropriately?
Well, this is really a huge challenge for the department that they're trying to get their hands around, but it's incredibly important. Especially when you consider what I was mentioning about the need to build readiness levels for the military, given over a decade of war, and also the need to really modernize their equipment for future wars.
Who's auditing their books, and how's that turning out?
It's not turning out very well. DoD is also one of the few federal agencies that can't accurately account for its finances, and they can't undergo a financial audit. The reason that's important is because to manage a department, especially one the size of DoD, leadership really needs to have good financial information to make decisions, and without it, it really has an effect on their ability to meet their missions.
And I know, based on other work GAO has done in this area, that acquisition is also a challenge for the department when it comes to their budget.
It's a big challenge, and it represents such a significant portion of DoD's budget. In that area, we found that DoD hasn't always implemented best practices when acquiring major weapon systems. So as a result of that, there's been cost increases, there's also been schedule delays, and there's even been cases where the equipment doesn't meet the warfighter's needs.
And what about the cost of maintaining military bases?
Yeah, it's significant. DoD has over 500 military bases worldwide, and there's a significant price tag that goes with those. At the same time, DoD is reporting that they have about 20% excess infrastructure across all of its facilities. And that's a problem because it costs money to maintain those buildings.
So we're in a bit of an uncertain budget environment. If DoD were to see an increase in its budget, how does that change this discussion?
It doesn't change it all that much. As you know, the president is proposing an increase in defense spending. But even with this increase, DoD is still going to face major affordability challenges.
So while the Department of Defense works to control its costs and better manage its finances, it also needs to expand its cyber capabilities. The cyber threats the nation faces right now are significant and growing. In fact, the former Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, identified cyber threats as first among many strategic threats the United States faces, even surpassing terrorism. Up next, Kathy talks about how DoD is working to protect the country from cyber threats.
One of the things that we've looked at is that DoD and the whole government really needs to do a better job of protecting its cyber capabilities and also ensuring that if there is a cyber attack, they can continue operations. Another area that we found at DoD was that they can do a better job having more visibility over the cyber resources that they have available to them.
So more visibility into cyber resources, what exactly does that mean?
Well, obviously, DoD has many resources available to it within the department and the military services. But in addition to that, the National Guard actually has a number of cyber resources in terms of cyber units and other equipment that should the event of a cyber attack, DoD could draw on those resources to assist them. And in some cases, they're significant.
We've recently seen in the news about possible leaks of CIA cyber espionage methods. Does DoD also need to worry about potential leaks in the method that it's using?
I mean, I think if you think back to 2010 and since, there's been some significant examples where the country's national security has been compromised by the release of classified information. One of the things that happened subsequent to those events was that the federal government set up a task force to try to position the federal government to prepare and prevent these types of incidents from happening. And they issued a number of best practices along with that.
And so has DoD been implementing these best practices?
Yeah, the good news is that they have implemented some, especially related to training and developing a cyber workforce. But there's more work that they need to do and other recommendations that they need to implement.
Okay, did you know the Department of Defense is spending nearly $180 billion on pay and benefits for its military personnel and another $70 billion for its civilian employees in fiscal year 2017 alone? That represents about half of DoD's budget. After the break, Kathy talks about why human capital issues are hard for DoD to resolve.
Interested in learning more from the U.S. Government Accountability Office? Be our friend and like us on Facebook. Our Facebook page has the latest information on our reports, blog posts, podcasts, videos, photos, interactive graphics, and much, much more. That's facebook.com/USGAO. That's facebook.com/USGAO.
All right, if half of DoD's budget is payroll, people must be very important to the department's mission. I had to ask Kathy, why is better personnel management a key factor to DoD's success?
DoD's workforce is really made up of three categories of people. Of course, you have the military. You also have a large civilian workforce at DoD. And there's also a large contractor workforce. One of the things that we found is that DoD really needs to step back and look at the combination of that workforce and make decisions about whether it's the right mix.
And what about pay? Is everybody paid the same way?
No, they're not. And there's actually a very complex patchwork of pay and benefits that DoD has in place. That, in particular for uniform service members, that's really evolved over the years. So we did some work recently looking at one category of these pays called special and incentive pays. And we found that there were actually some cases where service members, and they were actually Navy sailors, who said that they valued additional shore time over some of these increased pays that they were getting.
So they wanted things that were kind of a non-financial benefit.
Exactly, exactly.
And so that's another area where DoD could take a more comprehensive look to see if other service members maybe felt the same way.
Yeah, exactly. Some of their special pays are not tied to performance. So for example, if they're trying to recruit people into a certain field where it's hard to get folks interested in working, they'll pay some of these incentive pays to retain them. But they could theoretically be paying additional money to keep on board someone that's not performing. performing at the level they think they should.
So when you were talking before about, you know, their need to recruit more people to work on cybersecurity issues, this could be a way that they incentivize them to do that, but they're not tying it to how well that person might actually be doing their job?
Yeah, not holistically. Again, there's some services that do that, others do not.
This report isn't making any new recommendations. Of course, it builds on previous GAO reports with recommendations that could significantly improve DoD's operations. I knew Kathy could help me put this report in context and help highlight key recommendations DoD still needs to address.
Just since 2006, we've made over 3,000 recommendations to DoD, and that doesn't include recommendations that we've made that were classified or sensitive. Those are public recommendations. Of those, DoD's implemented about 65% of them, which means there's still about 1,100 open recommendations that we think DoD needs to implement.
And how does this compare to the rest of the government and other federal agencies?
DoD is actually lagging behind the rest of the federal government in implementing GAO recommendations. So I mentioned DoD has a 65% implementation rate. The rest actually averages a 73% implementation rate.
So that's a lot of open recommendations. Has DoD made progress?
Yeah, they've definitely made progress. And I know when you see 1,100 open recommendations, that's a question that pops into your mind. And these admittedly are some very difficult challenges that are going to take time to address and implement.
So we've certainly unpacked a lot here today. Kathy, what do you see as the bottom line of this report?
I think the bottom line is really that there's an increased urgency right now for DoD to address these challenges that they're facing and that we've talked about today. They've got some fundamental questions that they need to address in the coming years, including affordability questions about what they can afford, also including questions about how they're going to build readiness and support that, and then finally how they're going to modernize for the future. And I really think they're at a crossroads in terms of having to make these difficult decisions. We think that by implementing recommendations that we've made over the years, we can help DoD address some of these issues, and we hope that they take us up on that and move forward in implementing them.
We've certainly spotlighted a lot of important areas and challenges for the department and the administration. Kathy, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thanks, Sarah. My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to another Watchdog Report Big Bite Edition podcast. If you'd like to hear more podcasts like this, or if you want to send us a question or comment, shoot us an email at podcasts@gao.gov. Be sure you don't miss an episode by subscribing to our podcast on iTunes. The Watchdog Report, Big Bite, is a production of GAO's Office of Public Affairs.